again, and welcome to Supergirl Gab, the podcast where we watch the CW Supergirl, and then we talk about it. We are your hosts. I'm Chris.
And I'm Katie.
And this week we watch Season 3, Episode 14, Shot Through the Heart, which I came very close to accidentally almost calling Shot in the Dark, which seems like it would be another great name for an episode of this show that has to do with Wynn, but that was not what this episode was.
No.
It also seems like the kind of thing that they might have already called an episode.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like maybe 2 years from now when they do another Wynn focus. It's every 2 years, apparently.
Yeah.
Because I had that moment of, like, they haven't talked about his dad in, like, since season one. So apparently in season five, we're going to get another episode.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Well, so, real quick, what did you, just like overall impression, what did you think of this episode? Because for me, I think that one episode every 2 years might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, you know what? I honestly liked the break from the world killer. Whatever. Yeah. I also honestly kind of enjoyed this one. It was just as a side one. I'm not going to lie, really, and we will talk about her at length, but I was so excited when Laurie Metcalf showed up, and my excitement didn't dissipate the whole episode.
Oh, wow, really? Okay.
Yeah. Like, I really like her as an actress.
Yeah. And yeah, same.
When she's not on terrible reboots of certain television shows. Did you see
Scream 2?
I've not seen any of the Scream movies.
Oh, well, I'll just tell you, she's in Scream 2 and she's great in it.
Yeah. I
don't start with that one, but you ever decide to watch them.
I was of the age where I was not watching any horror movies because I was a wimp, because I was a teenager. Like, it took me until like at least a few years ago to actually watch some horror movies. I feel like now it's fine. And I've been spoiled on the ending of the first one.
Bummer.
So just by like pop culture osmosis.
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't know, like, I'm sure that now it wouldn't scare me as much, but as a teenager, I was like, oh, no, that's not, I'm not going to watch that. It was not for me. But no, I just, like, I just think she's great. And so, we will hash it out, but I didn't mind this episode at all. It's not, like, one of my favorite episodes, but there was enough for me to enjoy of it, and not a ton that made me actually angry, which is always a good thing with the show, because I don't want to be angry at it.
It's not like I hated it, but it did definitely feel a little fillery.
Yeah, but I'm also like not, like, if we're going to get a filler episode, I'd rather it be about some, like, a little bit of character examination. The B plot of this was actually pretty good too, I thought. And there was some.
Well, how about this? Let's.
All right.
And I know that you have watched the episode much more recently than I have.
Yeah.
So why don't you give us like a quick rundown of what the plots were for this episode?
Sure. So during an epic karaoke group,
I have some thoughts on that?
I'm interested to see what you think. We will talk about it. But during that, Wynn sees on the television screen that his father, who we saw in season one as the toy maker, right?
Toy man,
yeah.
You're like working too hard at it. It's just that's a character that came from the time when you could just take one thing and put man after it.
Yeah, I know. But I was just like, Toy Maker seems like a plausible name for a villain as well. So anyway.
Yeah. It sounds like a better name than just Toy Man.
Then I was thinking, like, did they change his name at some point? Like they sometimes do when they realize like old villain names sound stupid. Anyway, point being is that his father apparently died in prison, and Wynn is kind of freaked out about this because he had a very not great relationship with him. He ends up going to the funeral and he sees his mom there. His mom who ran away from their
his
family.
His mom who, it seemed, I don't remember we have ever heard of previously in the show. It was always just about his dad.
I think he had mentioned that she had left. I vaguely remember that from season one. Like when all this was talking about, like when he was talking about all this, he had talked about his mom leaving. So I think they addressed that somewhat. And then while they're talking, the coffin explodes and then other things keep kind of coming after Wynn and his mom.
There's flying robot monkeys in this episode,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah. I will say if I had any like real criticism, so the CGI in the show ranges so vastly. And this one I was like, oof, that's
yeah.
It embarrassing. Ain't great. Yeah.
I would go so far as to say embarrassing. How bad
there
it
was
is.
A lot of it not okay. So when I make this comparison, I'm probably being unfair to Supergirl. But have you ever seen the movie Birdemic?
Oh, good Lord. I've seen that movie probably 100 times.
Me too. First of all, it's a great so bad it's a good movie.
Yes.
But there are parts of that scene where they're like trying to fight off the flying monkeys.
That is exactly what I was going to say it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, it's not nearly as bad,
yeah,
clearly.
But
way
it's
better
that same,
cinematography. But it, yeah, it,
that's exactly what
like,
it reminded me of.
There's a lot of like, they clearly put the CGI in to go around the characters and it's super,
yeah.
Or like the actors and it's super obvious. So basically, then his mom figures out, his mom helps him disassemble one of the flying monkeys, and it turns out that it was being made by her husband's old company, so she tries to go and investigate herself, and it turns out it was what my partner said while we were watching together, a Harley Quinn-esque assistant in the form of a security guard that basically became his protege.
Man, yeah, I've got some real thoughts on, you know what? I thought that the more I'm remembering about this episode, I am also going like, no, wait, maybe I did hate it.
And you know what's funny? I feel like this is the thing. We tend to have a lot of things in common about stuff we like about the show. But then the things that you find passable and I hate, and the things that I find passable and you hate seem to be like we are almost always on that different end of things.
Well, you never know. Like the reasons that for some of my things might not be the ones you think. So maybe. Yeah.
And then on top of this, the side plot is actually a very starting out very cute storyline about Jean's dad, but it becomes clearer and clearer that he's slowly falling into Mars dementia, which had a very specific name.
Yeah, which I can't remember either.
Yeah, it was a bunch of syllables, and then it means crumbling of the mind.
Yeah.
Which I thought, okay, you could have just said like, oh my gosh, I'm having dementia.
Yeah.
Which did have another wording in Martian, but I'm speaking English to you right now, which means I could just call it dementia. But anyway, so I'm interested to see what you think about all of this, because like I said, compared to other episodes that have annoyed me more, this one, while it was filler, felt like, I don't know, like there were parts of it that I actually enjoyed.
So I will say this, there's a lot of stuff in this episode that I'm into on an
yeah.
idea level. I think most of my issues with this episode were execution related.
Yeah, that's fair.
The idea of like there was a lot of stuff in this episode, and maybe it's because like some of the things in this episode like I identify with like really on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
The execution of them being not as solid, high a quality as I would like is maybe what makes me have more of a negative reaction towards them.
No, that's fair. Goodness knows there have been things in past episodes that I have felt strongly about in terms of things that I personally, you know, relate to, and then they're not done well, and I get really annoyed. So
yeah,
I'm with you.
So and I fully, I mean, that could I fully accept that that could be like just me, because I know that I saw some other people talking really favorably about this episode, and it's like reading the synopsis or you know, just sort of like on a surface level for some of this stuff, I was like, yeah, that is a good idea, or that's like, and it's like, so you said, you know, you like that, even though it is kind of like a filler episode, you like that it's at least sort of character driven. It's not just like, oh, here's a random villain of the week for Supergirl to go beat up, and there's not really any point to it. This does give us some stuff with Wynn, who is a character that I like, and it fills in some more of his backstory. And I think that he does, the actor, what's his name? Something Jordan? Is it Jeremy Jordan?
Jeremy Jordan.
Yeah. I think he does a pretty good job with what he's given. And I like Laurie Metcalf, and I think she does a good job with what she's given. And I think there are even some places where she, you know, where she like elevates the material.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just a number of things where I was going, where some of the stuff just felt very much like, this is not how anyone would ever react to some of these things. Or it's like some of these things would be so simple to have an actual conversation about, or maybe have a difficult conversation about, but like to talk about, and then it would, but there's all these things where it's like, well, we have to keep the plot. We can't have the plot resolve until this other thing happens later in the episode.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, as someone who has, who, you know, was not raised by their parents and who struggled for a long time with feelings of like, without getting too heavy, you know, but struggled, you know, big time with like feelings of some of this stuff that Wynn was going through, and like wanting to, you know, place the blame on someone else or place the blame on yourself, or just going like, what, you know, all these kind of things. Some of the reactions in the show without, you know, I mean, we don't have to, well, I started to say we don't have to get too specific about it, but it's also like, it's fairly hazy in my brain. But I just remember having sort of like some very knee-jerk reactions to how some of the stuff played out, where I was just going, it didn't sit right with me.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it may totally be just because I'm too close to it, or because, who knows? You know, that may 100% be on me, but then when you compound that with stuff like the CGI being so laughably bad in places, it just all kind of comes together for me to make me go like, I'm sour on this episode. Like, as it's going, it's like going, oh, each new thing. I mean, to be fair, when the CGI was that bad, it made me laugh, which is nice, but it, you know, you're also going like, this show is supposed to be better than this, or I want this show to be better than this. So, and also just the, and just to start things off, that karaoke was like, I could not have wanted to crawl out of my skin more. Cause like,
really?
As someone who has done so much karaoke, like being in that situation where, and it's, oh, first of all, I did think it was hilarious that then like they have the bar on, the one TV in the bar happens to be exactly the way that Wynn is facing.
And just has, and as thing. Soon as you saw you're like, oh, well, we know what that's for.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like he couldn't have gotten like a text or a phone call from someone. But I did like the thing when he, I will give the show, the writing and the acting and the characters all credit for this. I liked when he had that part where, you know, after he finds out, he goes outside.
Yeah, and then Jimmy.
And is it Jimmy comes after him, and he's saying, you know, like, the weird thing is that I feel weird for not being upset. Like, I know I should be upset that he's gone, but I don't feel that way. And that's like a real powerful feeling. And it's like a heavy thing to, even though his dad is like a supervillain, that's like a heavy thing for this show to get into, that it's like, there are these people where in our lives sometimes where it's like you have some kind of negative feeling towards them, or, you know, like even though they're people that are in your family or that you've known for a long time, and something can happen and you feel like there's something wrong with you because you don't feel like you're having the appropriate reaction, or that you're just having no reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, and of course, sometimes that's a coping mechanism in and of itself and we can't realize it at the time, but man, that part, like, and see, I'm trying to pick out the parts that I was favorable towards.
Yeah. You see, and the reason why I liked that scene is that I really liked how Jimmy interacted with both him and actually with Mon-El this episode.
Yeah.
I felt like
there
was some really, one of the things that's really interesting about Jimmy when he's used is that he's pretty open with his feelings, and he wants to help other people figure things out. And I really like the part where Wynn is like, is basically telling him to go away, and Jimmy's like, I'm not leaving you here. I'm not leaving you in the alley after you find out that your dad died. And the fact that he also had dealt with his dad dying, and later on they have that talk about how Jimmy said, you know, when my dad died, I blame my mom, even though, you know, looking back, I know that it wasn't her fault. And I had to deal with my feelings on that for a long time, and we're better now. But there was a, like, you're not the only person who's had those feelings before. Like, that's totally valid, but you also need to be looking past that too. I just really appreciate any time that the show actually lets the men on this, on the show talk about their feelings in a non-toxic way. I mean, that happens.
Oh, absolutely.
That happens also with the Jean's dad subplot too. I felt like there was some really interesting stuff going on in this episode in terms of that. And I'm just happy that like Jimmy got some stuff to do.
And I think that's where the show kind of flounders on Jimmy, is when they try to use him too much as a leading man and not as like a really, he works so well as a character to contrast, like, as like a supporting cast member.
Absolutely,
To these other characters. Like, because Jimmy was designed as like a supporting cast member for Superman. And it's like, you can have Jimmy be the leading man if it's his show, if it's his comic. But it's like, he works best if he's a supporting cast member. He works best as a supporting cast member. And like, you give him a chance. It's like you said, he's someone who, like, I don't like seeing the episodes where Jimmy is like jealous, or like where, you know, he's feeling, I don't know, the, like, he, cause he works good. He's like this, the reason he works so well as like a, I think he works so well as a supporting cast member for Superman, like as Superman's pal, is because he just thinks it's like his attitude is always one where it's like he is inspired by Superman, and he's not like other characters you could have be like Steve Lombardo, who's also in the Daily Planet, you know, newsroom, who is like jealous of Superman and like picks on Clark. But Jimmy's just a good dude, and he's like honest about stuff, and he's like upfront about things, and he's positive, and, you know, he goes and has adventures, but, and he's like, yeah, it was crazy. And so it's like, when you have him on this show, when they use him like that, like you said, when he's getting to come out there and be like a good friend to Wynn, who is not as well developed a character, who has not had as much to do, but has still been treated, he's like still one of the main principal cast.
Mm-hmm.
He works really well. So, and it, same way with Mon-El, and same deal with when he's dealing with Kara, but it's not in a, are we going to date or not way.
Yeah. And honestly, and we've talked about this before, but like, it makes me sad that the way his love story right now is going, that it felt so forced, because I could honestly see something way more organic and interesting happen over the course of a whole season.
Yeah, totally.
Between him and Lena.
There was no reason for them to rush that.
Yeah, yeah. And because I feel like they could have chemistry. It just, yeah. And like, yeah, and they could have done a lot more with like developing that because, again, Jimmy's a really interesting, charming guy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
He's got a lot going for him. So it's like there's no need to do this stuff.
Yeah, he runs a company.
There's no need for them to treat him in these ways where it's like you're just forcing this on either on the character or on the story when it's like really not necessary. You could do this in like totally different way. Like him wanting to be guardian just because he feels left out is not the way to approach Jimmy Olsen. I don't
think. Yeah, I agree. Also, I will confess something. I actually did like the karaoke scene.
Well, so, just as someone who has done so much karaoke and who has worked at a place where karaoke happens every week. It's
okay,
like,
so you have the point of view of having to see secondhand, like you've had secondhand embarrassment before. I get it. Trip. Yeah. I mostly was just happy because it was nice to see them be friends.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I love that. If they were just doing anything other than bad
other than karaoke. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. I was also real. I was like, oh, man. And I mean, I know Kara kind of did a silly song, but I was like, oh, man, Wynn's actor is a great singer. Like, he's a Broadway star. I can't wait for him to do it. And then as soon as I saw the TV like shot, I was like, oh, they're going to cut it off before he can sing.
Not even going to get to see it.
No, and then at the end, like, he sings with his mom, but you don't really get to hear. It was really, I was so mad. So I was like, you've stolen this from me. I don't get it. We're not getting a musical episode this season. Yeah. I wanted something. That was a bit of a bummer.
The bummer for me was just like, I get that some of them were supposed to be bad at it, you know, and some of them were supposed to be better, but holy cow, I was just, I wanted out of this physical plane.
Yeah, I do. I do like the fact that Jean's dad is describing karaoke from the point of view of someone not of this earth. I always like when aliens do that, where it's like it requires either great courage or a complete lack of shame.
Yeah,
and that was like I was like, oh, this is really cute, and he just seems like this is incredible, and I love this. And I forget what it was. It was like some other thing that he wanted. That he wanted to try.
Oh, the coffee.
Oh, was it? Yeah, and then
he's like, this brown liquid is. He says something like that.
Yeah, I like when they.
That
have,
guy
like,
basically
aliens
makes everything wonderful, even the really heavy stuff in this episode. He's still just.
And I want to say one of the things I liked about that subplot is that a lot of times when TV shows tackle. Like an older person gained dementia, it's so often treated like the person is already so far gone that they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
The kid figures it out or the wife figures it out. And I really like the fact that we got to see it from the point of view of the person that's going through it. And I liked the fact that a lot of it was him dealing with some cultural shame about it and then actually having an honest conversation with his son, which again is about getting away from toxic masculinity and talking openly with people, which is always a good thing. I liked how Alex was like her role in this because she was all about trying to get to know this person that's really that her father figure cares about so much. And I like the fact that she was, that they actually had her use her medical degree again, both in this and also checking on Wynn's mom. I'm like, yes, keep reminding people that she has a medical degree. I thought that was actually done well. I'm hoping that doesn't mean that that the actor, whose name I always forget, but I always, you know, it's the voice actor for Sean and JLU. But I really
Carl
hope
Lumbly,
still,
I believe is his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, yeah. I really hope he still shows up occasionally.
Well, I know they're not done with him yet. So.
Good. But yeah, it's one of those things where when he started like the second time he forgot something, I knew where they were going, and I was like, oh God, is he gonna die this episode? And then like, that's the end. Cause I think I was in the middle of writing my notes, like, I love this actor. I love this character. It's so great. Yeah. And then I was like, oh no.
It's interesting that he's had all this time to be fine. And then it's like, he gets on Earth for 2 minutes and suddenly this is happening. And it's like, could y'all not just either don't bring him or don't just have him go through all this. And that maybe they know what they're doing, but I'm less inclined to give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't know what's going to happen because I have not watched ahead, but I know that they're not done with him yet, but I feel like it's going to get worse before it gets better or before it just is over.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my fear.
Yeah. And on the other hand, I was worried that they were going to have him get killed on Mars before they could take him back. So I was just relieved that they were going to keep him around more than one episode, but I agree.
The thing that bums me out is thinking that it's like the reason they're doing this is because they can't afford to keep him as a regular cast member. So it's just easier to write him out because probably most of the young people that watch this show just want to see the attractive young people doing things since this is a CW show, you know?
Maybe.
I hope that that's not the case.
But it's also weird because, I mean, if they really wanted to, they could just be like, oh yeah, Dad's, you know, going, he started, you know, playing chess, so he's not at home right now or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they could have just done it that way. I mean, goodness knows how many times they've said Brainiac isn't around. Oh, he's studying.
He's off working on something.
He was mentioned. I know that he shows up later. I was thinking about this today because we've talked about how we thought maybe it was that they're changing up.
Or retooling his makeup. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also just wonder if maybe the actor has other commitments and so they could only get him for certain episodes.
Or he got so roasted on Twitter for how goofy he looked that he is in the midst of trying to renegotiate his contract.
I don't know. I hope not.
I'm teasing. Yeah, I'm teasing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that a lot of people liked his performance, at least.
Oh, totally. That's the thing. It's like his performance was great. And that's why it's like a bummer. Because it's like how goofy he looks takes away from that, distracts from that performance. Yeah.
But like I said, I heard that there's an episode coming up with him. So I'm hoping that's pretty solid. But then, and we find out that Mon-El and his crew were indeed sent back for a reason, and it is directly tied to Kara's main plot of the season.
But it was a reason they kept a secret from him.
Yeah.
Which they have to pretend is a whole thing worth stretching out as a dramatic issue over the entire episode, when it's like, seems like a pretty cut and dry kind of thing. Because he's trying to make it more of a serious, like, oh, she kept this secret from me. And so, Kara, I'm sorry. I know what that feels like now and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, hey, this is not the same thing at all.
Yeah, it absolutely isn't. I do kind of like the fact that he apologized for that because he never did.
Oh, yeah, that's great. But
And I also like the part where Kara's like, yeah, I don't want you to talk to me about your problems with your wife. Yeah. That's like,
go talk to anyone else about this.
Yeah, like, it was so mature, and she was just like, it's not, I like her, it's between you two, I'm not gonna get in the middle of this, I'm not gonna be, like, your girl, like, bouncer offer for this. And then he was like, no, I need to tell you an important plot point.
Yeah, he's like, no, yeah, that's fine, but this is not about that at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad that the league is apparently going to bring people in. Oh, and we also, I don't know if you caught it, and I know that you don't see the
the enders. Previews.
Yeah. But there is that part in the last scene where Mon-El says, oh yeah, like it's a cape trick. And he's like, you haven't worn a cape. And he goes, oh, my regular outfit.
No, I've seen all the pictures of him in the actual Mon-El costume. Yeah. Yes.
And I'm just like, why didn't you just do this before? Feel like that's a retooling. That word is really hard to say when you're trying to say fast. A retooling.
They were like, we got to get some superhero-looking stuff into this. Yeah, people are starting to lose interest.
Why didn't you do that before? You had that big, like, oh, let's suit up and let's show what we look like as a team. And you didn't do it then? Like, that bothered me.
He said something like his costume was damaged or whatever, and it was so then Wynn was going to fix it up or something, but...
Okay.
It also looks like they couldn't be bothered to come up with, like, a different costume for him and literally just took the pattern for the Superman one and switched the colors.
Yeah,
which I get that maybe he would want to have something that looks just like Superman's, but you'd think in the 31st century they would have made him something that was, like, even more high-tech or futuristic-looking or something. It wouldn't look like just the exact same costume. Look, I'm excited about it. Don't get me wrong.
I am too. I am also excited about it. I'm glad that it's happening. I think I'm just more annoyed because I'm like, why did we have to wait for this?
Yeah.
It would have been way more impressive if they had done the big reveal of the three of them.
That first time that they said that, if then you see him and he's in that for real suit, everyone would have been like, holy crap, that's awesome.
Like, you weren't trying to pretend to be the first X-Men movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So... yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that was big in this episode.
Well, obviously I think there's still a lot to talk about with his, with Wynn and his mom and with the monkeys and the killer. But I did want to go back for just a second to the Jean and his dad. I think the reason why it bothers me so much is because it's like you've got two characters who now you've had them go through a thing in like when he was introduced and you had them go through all that and then bring him to Earth. And it's like, okay, now you've got two characters and you've created a dynamic relationship for them that I am very interested and invested in. And we're to the point where I would go, oh, I would just watch a show of the two of them trying to learn how to get along as roommates, you know, on a different planet. And they're both trying to learn how to be earthling, you know, father and son, but also the dad's older. So it's also that kind of reversal thing of like now... And John's the one that's not new here, so he's having to teach his dad about stuff. Could be super interesting. You could do a lot with this for like way on down the road. And then to just really quickly hurry him into something where it's like, oh, this is going to be the end of this guy that we have enjoyed. Maybe it won't. Maybe they'll find some kind of cure. But then that seems really disingenuous because they're really playing this as like an, you know, sort of like as a metaphor for what we actually... what people actually have to go through with their older relatives, parents or older relatives that deal with dementia or Alzheimer's. And as someone who has had to see, this is another thing in the episode that like struck really close to home for me because I've had to deal with a lot of older relatives. I've had to watch them go through this and it's devastating. And it's like it's to see it. It's not that I don't think that they weren't. I think that they were trying to do something with it, but I don't know. Just the way it was handled could. I'm not even sure what the component of it was that was missing, but there's like. This the way it goes from just 0 to 60 so quickly with like we see the first time anything like this has happened to then where he's just forgetting like a word or two to then him suddenly he doesn't remember his grandchildren like
you
could have this is another thing that they could have drawn out over the course of this character's arc for the entire season instead of just rushing to it like this show is so impatient with everything it feels like, except the stuff where you're going, quit wasting time. Like the stuff where you're going, I want to see you hurry up and get to the point with some of this stuff. They don't. And then they rush through everything else. And it feels so frustrating. And again, maybe this is one where I'm like overly sensitive on this particular thing, but I do think it is like a problem in general with the show, not just in this specific instance.
I feel like the one thing about the show also, though, is it tends to, when they try to place hints, they are almost so obvious with it that, like, we would both see the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that was kind of what it was with, like, with a few of the things that like got set up in the past season and a half since we've been doing this podcast, where we'd be like, oh, well, we know where this is going.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was an elegant way for them to set up the thing with Jean's dad.
Well, if they had had him have him in that first scene where he can't remember the word, they do it so because of the way this show does things. That's part of why we notice it, because it's all of a sudden a character doing something different. And it's like, oh, by the end of this episode, he's going to have Alzheimer's. Like you, it jumps out immediately. But if they had just put that in this episode, and then the rest of the episode, their B plot was just about kind of furthering the father-daughter relationship between Jean and Alex, and then with him as the grandfather. Nothing else about that. Just kind of like let them have some character moments where he's realizing I can't think of what is his name. Myron? Is that what they call him?
I don't remember.
Something grandfather. Original Martian Manhunter. Or they have him realizing that, like, oh, she's like a daughter to Jean. And so that makes him like her grandfather. And so then just have some character stuff with that. Everything doesn't have to be a whole, you know, deal. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying no dramatic conflict, but I'm saying you could have just had him that first scene where he can't remember the word. It would have just seemed cute if they had not done like as a thing like, oh, and you would have just thought, oh, that was just that one scene. And it's kind of funny that he couldn't remember that Earth word or whatever.
Yeah.
Then they do nothing else with it. Then like not next episode, but maybe the episode after that, they have it happen again with something. And then you go like, oh, he's just, yeah, you get the idea that he's old, but it's also like, oh, that's his quirky thing is that he has a hard time remembering Earth words. And you keep doing that for a little bit until eventually you have him several episodes down the line, he can't remember something that seems like, oh, he should remember this. And then you go, yeah. Oh no, were all of those things, it wasn't that he just can't remember Earth words, it's that he's getting up in years. And then you go, oh, okay. And then it seems like all of those things that had been kind of cute and funny before, now they feel kind of like tragic, because you're like, oh, they were seeding this. But instead, they just do it all in one episode, and it's like, oh, well, great. Like, they just throw it all in, and when even though in every other one of his appearances, and they said that he was in that, you know, when he was on Mars, when they found him, they had been, like, torturing him, like, basically, like, psychically torturing him for years, for, like, hundreds of years or something, and he had held out. So it's like he'd been fine for all of that, and then just all of a sudden he gets to Earth, and then in, like, a couple months, suddenly he's got dementia after having that strong of a willpower and his mind keeping it, like, that closed where they couldn't get the secrets out of him for all those years. It's like, or have that play into it.
I was gonna say that could have been like that, the strain on that. Totally get it. And I mean,
I know you get it. I'm just like,
I've got to get this
out of me.
God knows I have done the thing where I was like, here's how you fix it. I'm going to go back in time and stomp in there and tell them how to fix this, because I'm so frustrated because I know the exact way it could be fixed. I've been there. I know. I can totally understand that. I feel like maybe
I just keep hoping that someone eventually, like a showrunner for the show or something, listens to the show and goes, hey, these guys are smart. Let's get them out here.
Yeah. Hopefully not the ones where I'm saying all the ums and uhs.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. All you have to do is someone's going to type it out once we've said it. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
They're just going to be like, let's get these folks are smart. Let's get them in this writer's room to make the show better.
Yeah, that's exactly
that
how that's going to happen.
That,
yeah,
that kind
yeah,
of thing
okay.
happens. Look at how many people now do like fan art for something that goes viral on Twitter, and then next thing you know,
writers. That doesn't count.
Yeah, that never happens with writers.
Yeah. Can I say there are two parts of the big action scene that I don't know if I hate or love.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm still unsure. Like, when I made notes for this, I was like, I don't know if I love it or if it makes me very sad, and I still don't. So the one is the robot dinosaur.
Which I absolutely love the idea and the some of how it was presented, but then also it was, like, very disappointing in other ways, but yeah.
And also, if they ever make a Bat Family show now, it's like, oh, great, you guys already used the robot dinosaur. Thanks. And then the other thing that I still don't know how I feel about was when Supergirl got trapped in a giant plastic toy packaging.
Oh my gosh.
That says Supergirl on it.
Yes.
So they had to, the evil fiend behind this had to specifically design a giant, like, action figure
Supergirl
packaging.
Action figure packaging.
With the logo.
Yes.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved that, except for the fact that she couldn't break out of it.
Yeah, and how could she not breathe? I was like, she can go into space and breathe. Why is it...
They play, I don't know, they do, they're kind of like iffy in this show on whether or not she can get into actual space and be okay. In the comics and stuff, with Superman and Supergirl, the idea is not that they can breathe in outer space. It's that Superman and Kryptonians can take... If they're, you know, they're, have, especially ones that have been living on Earth under the yellow sun for a long time. I heard it explained once that Superman can basically take a really deep breath and it basically just so completely oxygenates his blood that he can go for quite a while in space without needing like a spacesuit or something.
Yeah.
But eventually.
Now, will he be able to speak? Because then you're going to get to airflow.
Yeah. I would think that he wouldn't be able to because there's not really, I would guess that he wouldn't be able to since there's no sound in space. Like just, he couldn't just of his own accord.
I mean, we're also talking about comic book science. So
yeah.
I mean, but it's, this is an episode with a gigantic robot dinosaur.
Which I am so into in theory. But yeah. What does he say?
Anyway,
cape magic? He doesn't even say cape trick. Does he, or does he say cape trick or does he say cape magic?
I thought it was cape trick.
Well, okay.
Maybe cape magic. I don't remember. Was that a thing from the comics?
No.
Or are you just deciding which phrase sounds better?
I just really thought he said magic, and I was like,
maybe
what?
That's
he not
did,
a
and
thing.
I just completely missed it.
And I'm like, wait, that's not a thing. But I thought he was maybe making a joke about because they're in a place with like tricks and like magic stuff. You know, like I don't know, toys and stuff. Anyway. It made more sense later in the episode, but when he said it, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I was like, that's not a thing, is it?
But yeah, so those were the two things where I was like, I mean, they're leaning into the toy man aesthetic.
That was good. Yeah, that was good. And I like the idea that like, oh, but then this gets us to the part we haven't even talked about yet, which is I would have much rather... the dad had just faked his death because he was about to die. Like he had something terminal and was about to die anyway. And then he's the one who's doing this to try to get back at both of them before he actually dies. Because,
do you get the
man,
sense that they couldn't, that they just couldn't,
they couldn't
get the actor?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I honestly thought up until the point where his apprentice was revealed,
you thought it was her.
I thought it was Laurie Metcalf. Yeah. I thought they were setting it up because, like,
the way she was acting in some of those scenes was just so like, why are you being this needlessly
like
weird and like sneaky and going in places you shouldn't be and all this stuff.
Yeah, and then taking a gun just randomly. I was just like, why?
Yeah.
Also,
first things first, she should have told him, look. She should have sat him down and gone like, look, I understand that you're upset and that's fine, but this is what really happened. And this is why you need to understand that this was not a selfish choice. This was really hard. But that she tries to be like all just, oh, hey, what's going on and yada, yada. And it's not that she's not acting that well, but it's utterly ridiculous that they would wait that long to like have the sit down conversation. Even if he's being petulant about it and going like, oh, I don't want to hear it. Like, there's a point where you got to just, she would have to just go, hey, this is what happened. This is the deal. He was going to kill us. You know, like, there's no two ways about it. I'm sorry if you're upset and I understand and we can talk about that, but this is the deal. And it would have saved a lot of hassle and a lot of confusion and death traps and whatever else.
My one argument against that, or at least like my, is that you also have to remember that she's a woman who's gone through a lot of trauma. And I could honestly see her trying to avoid directly talking about what happened as much as possible as being a coping mechanism.
Yeah, but when there's somebody trying to kill you over what's going on, and you need
I'm not
to
saying
like,
it, I don't think it's logical. Oh, yeah, I'm just saying that in terms of a reasonable idea for what the character might do. So I didn't. That just didn't bother me.
That's fair.
Because I know that they're trying to build to like a second, like beginning of third act sort of.
Yeah.
Reveal that, for the mom.
That character's motivation was so flimsy, though. I was just like, it would have been. Like, it's a real big deal to go like, hey, I'm going to go try to murder these people that I don't even know because I was one of the guards at the prison you were at and you taught me how to make a murder yo-yo. Like, what?
Yeah,
like,
that was...
Just go kill these innocent people because they saw each other at my funeral. Like,
you know the one thing I actually liked about that character? Like, the one thing out of the many things that I was just kind of mad about? They did not get a CW-esque actress for it. She actually looked like a normal human being.
Yeah.
And for, like, just to have that, like, to have just a little bit of variety in terms of, like, how some of the characters look on this show was actually kind of refreshing. Because, like I said, it could have gone, like, full Harley Quinn where she was, like, sexy and younger. And it said she was just, like, a person. So
yeah.
I was...
Just
I
kind of an average person, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciated the casting. Yeah. Like, choice there.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I'll give that a thumbs up,
too. The thing that I found ridiculous right before that is the fact that they don't keep the gun room locked at the base.
I guess they're assuming that no one who's not supposed to be there can just waltz in to the building itself.
But also, like, everybody who works there is, like, hot-headed, and they do rash things, and they go jump in front of supervillains. You don't think that someone has just taken... Like, that's not a thing you just keep unlocked. So that annoyed me quite a bit. Like, why is the gun closet not locked? Why is there a closet just full of guns? And why can you just take them out whenever you want?
Yeah, there's no, like, checkout. There's nobody sitting at that door going like, hey, where are you going with that?
Yeah.
No guards. No cameras. This place is supposed to be real high tech.
Or something. Supergirl just flies in and out whenever she wants. It's fine. Flying monkeys can go right through the window. It's fine. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that really stood out. Again, I totally get the criticisms you had for it. I still thought that compared to some of the kind of drags of the main plot of this season, it was just kind of nice to have an episode it was a filler, but it wasn't like a villain of the week sort of thing where I knew it wouldn't matter.
If this hadn't been the first episode in 9 weeks, if this had just been in between two other episodes, like during the normal run of the show, I might have felt very different. But to be coming back to this, like this is your comeback episode after being off the air for 9 weeks was a weird choice. And it also like maybe I was like expecting, like when we left, things were feeling so, you know, like this world killer business is really, serious. And we're also like, we're very concerned with what's going on with Sam and Ruby and Lena with her. And like, they're all of that stuff. And there's just a lot of stuff going on. And this was like a weird one to come back with. If this had been before the break, in between like two of those, like those last two episodes, before the break, I think I might've had a different feel for it, but then again, there are those two things in this episode that hit me personally in like a weird place. So maybe I just would have been, like I said, though, I was not completely down on it. And there's good stuff in there. I'm not trying to be like totally negative on it. I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it when I was watching it. But it did have some stuff where I was just like, this doesn't sit quite right with me. So, but those may be totally personal just for me that no one else would have that reaction to. So not a bad episode overall, I don't think. Not like a totally bad episode. It's not one I would tell people to just skip, I don't think, because there is some good stuff in there.
Agreed.
All right. Well, I think we've pretty much said all we can about that. So real quick, though, this has nothing to do with Supergirl, but let's talk just very quickly about our experiences with bad theater goer nerds behind us when we saw Avengers Infinity War.
Let me think. All right.
I told you to remember this story so we could compare our experiences.
So this was actually, we went to see it twice. We ended up seeing it on the Thursday night, but then on Friday we got tickets to actually the Cards Against Humanity like live improv show that they do, but they also threw in free tickets to a sold out theater to watch Infinity War because like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have a... Like, Cards Against Humanity is a very interesting company. And they're like, well, it's our last show of the season. And we scheduled it during the busiest, like, movie-going weekend of the month.
Right.
So we're just going to, like, entice you all to come see our show while also going to... And then we'll see this movie after. So it was a bunch of, like... It was a bunch of, like, comedy fans... A lot of whom were clearly college students. And it was in a fairly small. It was in like kind of an older theater that is specific like movie for movies. But the people behind us were just being really not loud throughout the whole thing, but they were definitely talking like "whoa" and "dude" a couple times. And then, like, the ending happened, and I'm going to try to be as vague as possible about the ending, because, because, like, the movie's still out and whatever. But, like, that thing happens, and then...
To be fair, I think that our listeners have probably... were there on Thursday night.
And also, they've seen the memes, so at this point,
if you
haven't spoiled.
Yeah, I'll say there's a chance that there will be spoilers in this conversation. Actually, there's definitely going to be a spoiler when I start talking. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, just you know where to find all of our social media stuff on the website.
And I don't know, go see the movie already. Jeez.
Oh my gosh! So, yes, for crying out loud, go see it. We can't keep not talking about it.
Yeah. So they're freaking out during the part where like half of the living beings in the universe dissolve, and they're freaking out about T'Challa, and they're freaking out about Peter, and basically then during the credits, they were freaking out before the credits, but during the credits they are yelling at them for being like, you got rid of all the good characters, you didn't get rid of all the bad characters. And I'm like, my dudes, I kept looking at my partner going like, do they not know how this works?
Yeah, for real.
Because there's definitely no way. They were like, they're going to have to recast Peter Parker. I'm like, they are absolutely not going to have to do that. My God. So they're still like ranting about it. And then I'm just like, I was thinking like, I'm so glad this is my second viewing and not my first, or else I would have freaking lost it.
Yeah.
Then so they get to the ending. And again, spoiler, they get to the end credits scene, where Fury drops his beeper, and the beeper changes to the Captain Marvel symbol, and most of the theater is clapping, going woo, and the loud, I was going to say a bad word, but the loud people, the loud dudes behind me go, what does that mean? Oh. And I was just like, are you kidding me? I think I was just like, I almost threw my hands up. So that was my story. It wasn't quite as like as dramatically awful as it could have been. I've definitely been in worse movie going experience.
Right.
Like had worse movie going experiences. But that one I was just like, guys, I promise you don't have to worry about this. Black Panther made all the money in the world.
Yeah.
You're fine.
It's like you would have to be, unless you're like, you know, 8, you should not see this movie and go like.
Because they had definitely been drinking.
Yeah.
So they were definitely not. They were definitely of age.
My thing was that on Thursday night, so this is like a hardcore geek crowd.
Yeah.
It was, for the most part, it was absolutely great. And we had some of the best stuff was there was a guy in fantastic, full-on Doctor Strange cosplay. There was a guy in a fantastic, full-on Spider-Man Homecoming costume. Not the Iron Spider suit, but the good, like the fancy suit, not his like homemade one.
Yeah. Oh, so it wasn't his, it wasn't the pajama set?
No, not that one.
Have you seen Preeti's, do you know Preeti Chibber?
Uh-uh.
No, she's another comic critic, but for New York Comic Con last year, she dressed up at, sorry, this is deviating way off, I'll be quick. But she dressed up as Peter Parker's, like, outfit that Tony puts him in when he needs, like, clothes after, yeah. like, dropping him off, and it's, yes. like...
The Hello Kitty sleep pants and the...
And the, like, something like the New York tourist shirt.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, she created it, and she was very sad because, like, very few people, if any, got the reference and just thought Aww. She came to New York Comic Con in pajamas.
In her PJs.
Yeah. Anyway,
then,
so...
And then there was a kid sitting, like, two seats down from me in a full-on Black Panther costume, and he was so into it. Like, and when people would try to like give him a high five or say stuff to him or like fist bump him or something,
would he do
he wouldn't do the fist bump, he wouldn't fist bump, he wouldn't high five, he would just do the Wakanda Forever thing.
Yeah,
he would like
nice.
Shake his head like real solemnly and go like no, and then do the Wakanda Forever, and I was like, ah, I love this kid.
Yeah.
And I was also, then I was like, as the movie was happening, I was like, oh no, I am afraid for this kid. Like,
yeah.
this is pretty, some of this stuff is pretty heavy, and I hope that he is not really upset, especially once the ending happened.
Yeah.
But so for the most part, great crowd, crowd that was like really, really into it, and but not like in a disrespectful way, just very much like hitting all the right, you know, notes for a fun, good, premiere crowd.
Yeah.
But there were these two guys behind, the two guys that were sitting right behind us just kept doing that thing where they're like, oh, that's whatever. You know, it's like, yeah, we know. We all know.
yeah.
But then we get to the end and a very similar thing where they were like, oh man, what does this mean? And it's like, are you kidding me with this? But then to make it even worse, we get to the post-credits thing. And the Captain Marvel symbol comes up and everybody's like, you know, everyone's so excited. And then I hear these guys behind me go like, oh, that must be for Adam Warlock. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You fake nerds. Like, get out of here. Oh, just flew all
just
over
go
me,
away.
Man.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys sitting here perpetrating like y'all are like, oh, I know this. I know like, oh. And it's like, I feel like those are the same guys who would have the audacity to like, you know, see a girl in a Batman shirt or something and go like, oh, okay, well, what's your favorite Batman story? Like that kind of thing. Like those gatekeeper, maybe I'm being unfair and to these guys, but they were just doing that thing through the whole movie. They were like, oh, that's this. Oh, that's this.
Yeah,
oh,
there's that
know.
Extra of like, I want to dislike you now.
And yeah, yeah. These guys put me in that place.
So.
If that had just, if they had been quiet the whole movie and then had just said that at the end, I would have been like, oh, that sucks that they don't get it. Or I might have even gone like, no, actually, guys, not to be an actually person, but to be like, but I mean, like, April is not even like that into comics.
Yeah.
And when that popped up, she knew who it was.
Of course.
You know,
yeah.
like she knows Captain Marvel, and it's just like, ugh.
For the
if those guys had not been
the
being
first time. I'm kind of have mixed feelings about Infinity War in general, but the first time I saw it and the end credits scene, I mean, like, it was a pretty triumphant, like, yes, finally, they're finally acknowledging it.
Yeah.
So it was a good way to end the movie, at least. But yeah, I don't know why we both had, like, crummy experiences with that, but it's very annoying.
Well, I would say for the most part, my experience was great.
Yeah, and I will say, one of the guys that was buddies with them, who might have been also being a jack butt about it, I was, yeah, almost got me. And then I remembered that we don't swear on this podcast.
That's right.
so, but when they said, wait, what does that mean? They were like, oh, that's Captain Marvel. That's like the coolest. She's like, she's super strong. So like, he was down. So yeah, I'm like, okay. I was like, I never want to be around you people again, but I'm not going to like curse you silently as I walk past you. All right. That's okay.
Okay. One last thing, since we've been away for a while. Then we'll wrap up. This is also like, it's totally unrelated to the episode or to Avengers, but it is about Supergirl. And it's the fact that last week I got a text from my sister who let me know that my niece is, who is the cutest thing in the world, has just discovered Supergirl on Netflix and is like so completely all about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, well, she's about to get a bunch of stuff in the mail because...
Yeah, how old is she?
Thank you for putting me on the spot like this.
Vaguely, middle grade.
She's like eight-ish.
Okay, so you know you gotta get her DC Superhero Girls, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like, look, you should see, I should send you like a screenshot of...
You absolutely are going to. Of the order
from my Amazon cart that's all just... cool Supergirl stuff for her. And then, so
point
I was like...
Point her to the YouTube videos, too, because they're all free.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's a lot of, like, good Batgirl-Supergirl friendship stuff. It's adorable.
Yeah, but I'm still getting her basically everything. Hopefully she won't listen to this and spoil it. But I just typed Supergirl. I typed Supergirl into Amazon and was like, click, 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 click. Let's load all of this up. And so then my sister was like, had a bunch of questions, like there were questions from both of them kind of. And I was like, oh, well, this and this. And she was like, is there going to be more of it? And I was like, yeah, they actually just got, or she said, is there a third season? Cause only the first two seasons are on Netflix. And I was like, yeah, there is a third season. They're in the middle of it now. And they just got picked up for a fourth season. She's like, oh, she's going to be so excited to hear that. And I was like, yeah. And when you guys get to, they're still in the first season, I think. But I was like, when you guys get to whatever episode we started on, doing the show on, I was like, then I've actually got a podcast about this that you guys can listen to. And she was like, oh my gosh, that's going to be so exciting. She's going to love getting to hear you talk about this. And then just coincidentally, the next day I was at Target and I was walking by the little girls section and they had this Superman/Supergirl shirt that looked just like this Superman shirt that I had when I was a little kid.
Aw, that's so nice.
And it was like the way that it was made was like the same style. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this. Like literally a day later.
Target is really, really good at doing a lot of merchandise now. Like it's still girly, but it's not. Yeah. But there are a lot of superheroes, lots of Star Wars stuff. And I honestly, like, I'm such a dork, but I always walk by, I make a point to walk by the DC Superhero Girls stuff just to see what, like, what they're doing with the line and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's always there.
Yeah. And it's apparently it's doing really well. But I saw this shirt and I immediately texted my sister and was like, what size t-shirt does she wear?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, it's kid size, this, you know, whatever. And I went through and I was like, all right, they didn't have it. And and my sister's like, why do you want to know? And I sent her a picture of the shirt and was like, this is just like a shirt I had when I was a kid. She was like, well, we have to go to Target tomorrow anyway. And she was like, so I'll see if they have it at the one here. And if they do, I'll get it and just tell her that it's from you anyway. And I was like, okay, yes, please do that. And then my sister sent me a picture of her in that shirt, but she's got her like little jean jacket on over it, pulling it open, you know, doing the super pose. And, but it's like, she demanded to be in that pose for the picture.
Kids are so good. Yes. I don't want them, but they're great.
They're so, I don't know about all kids, because I have to deal with some kids who are kind of awful sometimes, but my niece at least is the best. And,
well, I don't have to deal with those children. I only get to see the adorable ones. I get to see the cool ones.
But so I will send you definitely that picture of her being super adorable, and I might even post it in the show notes. But I wanted to tell everyone about that. And eventually, hopefully she and my sister will hear this and get to know that I was talking about her, and she'll already have all the stuff. She will have already gotten it all in the mail.
Yeah. So, it's a good thing. It is probably a good thing we don't swear on this podcast then.
Yeah.
You were you somehow knew that your niece was going to listen to this.
I knew eventually there would be a young listener that I cared about that I wanted
to
know.
I'm worried though that they're going to be like, you're talking really negatively about this show we like.
Yeah. Uncle Chris. Maybe I'll tell her like to skip some episodes.
some seasons.
Be like, don't listen to that one. It's not very good. But yeah, so I just wanted to share that with everybody because that was like a really fun Supergirl experience for me. And it also speaks to why we are hard on this show when we are hard on it. Because there are impressionable little future superheroes out there that need the show to be as good as it possibly can be. And I think that there's the show has shown us time and again that it has tons of potential. And that's why, that's the only reason we are hard on it is because we know that it can be, we know how good it can be. And we know when it does some of those not so good things that it can be better. So having said all that, Katie, tell them where to find you and all that kind of good stuff.
So you can find me on Twitter at justplaintweets. I do have a Patreon, patreon.com/justplainsomething that I am going to be filling up more often. But generally, it helps me be able to do cool projects like this for free. I don't know if I've talked about this yet on the podcast, but I have a book coming out in less than a month.
Very exciting.
It is very exciting. If you haven't listened or haven't read the show notes yet, because Chris always manages to post the cover and a link and information.
I am excited about it. I am crazy
too.
Excited about it.
3 years, Christopher. It's been 3 years that I've had to wait for this thing to be out. So it's called The Cardboard Kingdom. It's a middle grade graphic novel that's coming out from Random House and Knopf. It is one of my favorite things I've ever done, and it's gotten a lot of really wonderful early reviews. Basically, Publishers Weekly gave us a starred review. Kirkus gave us a starred review. School Library Journal gave us a starred review. It's gotten a lot of good press so far. I absolutely adore it, and it's something really special. And when we just got done talking about why we feel like this show can be really important because kids are seeing, you know, it's inspiring kids and it's important to kids, and that's why I made this book. So I'm excited that we are ever so close to being out into the world. And you can still pre-order it. And pre-orders are a little cheaper than the regular prices. So I've been suggesting to people to do that if they have the means, just because it will save them money in the long run. And it definitely helps helps me with the publisher. So that's also a good thing. I know it's probably going to be another month or so, but John Troutman and I are doing a short comic called 100 Light Years of Solitude that I'm really excited about. So look out for that. They'll probably be on Comixology. And then besides that, I'm going to be at Cake this year in the first weekend of June. And I have a few other events coming up in the summer. So once I get some solid dates on those, I'll let you know. But yeah, I think that's about it. Chris, where can people find you?
I am on all the social media things as at the Chris Haley. Follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. All the show notes and everything are at keepitclosetome.com. You can email the show. The link for that is on there in case I accidentally say it wrong. I've also got a Patreon. It's patreon.com/thechrishaley. Get episodes of this early, episodes of all my other shows early, get stuff in the mail, get to see some behind the scenes stuff. All that kind of nonsense. Thank you so much to everyone who tweets about the show when the new episodes come out. Anyone who makes any kind of contact with us about liking the show, any of that kind of stuff. It's all super helpful, and we really do appreciate it. And because honestly, especially in this day and age of like algorithms and all this other stuff, word of mouth is basically the only thing that counts for getting people to know about stuff that you like.
And it also is nice to know that people actually listen to us.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
That we're not just sending it out into the void.
Yeah. So thank you so much to everyone that does that. And if you haven't done that yet, by all means, take this as a wonderful call to action to do that. Let somebody you know that likes Supergirl or likes the show or that you think might just enjoy hearing two people talk about a show they don't watch but have a good time doing it. Even when it's negative, I think we still have a good time. And you get to hear fun, cute stories about my niece or stories about the horrible nerds that were sitting behind us at movies. So just thank you for all that. Thank you for listening. And I guess we'll see you guys next week for more Supergirl Gab.
Bye, everybody.
Hooray! Well, and if at any point it sounds like it's too audible, I can always just cut it out.
Yeah, and I will do my best to not, like, still have food in my mouth and talk.
Okay.
I will do my best. I also have a hard cider by my side this time.
Ooh.
Because, yeah. I forget what
I think that's what we're missing on this show, is that we don't drink enough while we're talking.
I drink
about
plenty.
It.
I've been having a glass of wine.
Well, maybe it's me then. I need to be drinking more.
I was going to say, I usually have a great time, and you seem miserable some of these. I think, I'm just saying.